Hello, everyone, and welcome to our live feed update for February 14th. Good morning. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and today I've got Puya with me. How are you doing, Puya?
I'm good, man. I do know it's Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day to those of you who celebrate it. To the rest of you, we don't want to contribute to the stress that you're probably having not having a date, so we'll be your date today.
Puya, will you be my Valentine?
You know I will, Taryn. I already agreed to this.
All right. Well, we are here to update you on everything that's been happening on the feeds since yesterday, and we'll get right into it. The day starts out. The plan is in place. James and Shannon are going to be nominated. And before today or before yesterday, they didn't know anything about it. But after they woke up, they started to feel like, something seems to be going on here. It feels like something's a little off. Shannon is noticing that Marissa can't look her in the eye. Then she has a conversation with Brandy where Brandy says, oh, yeah, Ari is not super into the idea of nominating Meta. And Shannon's like, well, but that was the plan to nominate Meta and Omarosa, right? Like, I thought that was what was happening. If that's not happening, then something else is happening. And if something else is happening and they're not talking about it, then, oh, I think we're in trouble.
A mile a minute. No, Shannon sussed it out very quickly. And to be fair, to not to give Shannon all the credit, because they didn't really do a good job of hiding it. For a lot of the morning or a lot of the afternoon, they pretty much were in the HOH room, and they kept either Meta or Omarosa in that room the entire day to prevent Shannon from getting a word in any way. And she just picked it up. She picked up Marissa. She picked up on the cues. Ross did try to do as much as he could to like convince them that other stuff was going on and that he can try and move it around. But they ended up sniffing it out just very early on, and they knew the inevitable was happening that day.
Yeah, they decided like we need to start talking to people. We need to go and talk to Ari. And Brandy just spearheaded this movement to prevent them from having any one-on-one time with Ariadna, like getting Meta involved, like Meta, just stay up there. You guys go down here. Just make sure that she never has an opportunity to talk alone with Ariadna. And this is another just like, basics of strategy that lots of people don't implement. And I guess it's a lot harder to implement in a regular season of Big Brother where there's an entire week. But it's very effective just to prevent communication from even happening, because nothing can happen without communication.
Yeah, no, both Brandy and Ari have been outstanding in the way they've been able to implement these little basic things that we all know and love, have noticed and appreciated. And Brandy was very effectively able to do this. And it just did not seem like a hard job for them to do. I feel like the fallout, which we'll get to, was more of a difficult time. But even then, I was very impressed with the way Brandy did everything. I mean, dare I say, I'm kind of looking at Brandy and thinking, you got the chops. I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah. So Shannon and James decide, all right, well, I guess we need to talk to Ross then. We're like, what's going on with Ross? Because they can't make this move unless they've got the support of Ross and Marissa. So they talk to Ross. He feigns ignorance. And they're like, I think something's going on. Can you go talk to Ari? You have influence with them, right? Like, can you help us out here? And Ross is like, let me do that. I'll go talk to Ross. We'll figure this out. Or I'll go talk to Ari. We'll figure this out. And so he goes and pretends to do that. Meanwhile, Shannon is starting to cry to James because the pressure is getting to her at this point. She's realizing that she's about to be betrayed. And it's no fun for her.
No, it's like her execution date is set, and now she's just waiting for the electric chair is how she's feeling. She's just, all systems were shutting down. To give James credit, though, James really, I really liked what I saw from him in both taking the news and kind of marinating in the idea that this is happening, but also to kind of talk her down the ledge and tell her to don't give up, like, listen, keep going, never give up. Very John Cena of him. But I do think that he knows what he's doing. He's kind of confident in the fact that, you know, it's not over till it's over, and I'm going to fight. Whereas Shannon, on the other end, is just getting frustrated now because her last couple people that she thought she had, she can't even fully rely on at this point, or she feels like she can't rely on at this point. Ross continues to do the role of Varys, becoming the eyes and ears of everybody and being the mediator of all these conversations. And I feel bad for Shannon in this moment, but at the same time, I was like, it hasn't happened yet. Don't shut down. And I think James was really doing a good job of reinforcing that, or trying to.
Yeah. Again, I feel like if I can get into Shannon's mind, I think that like what's going through her head is that she came into this game. She was ready to play. She loves it. She has this final two with Omarosa, and she's got this women's alliance. And then she feels like Omarosa stabs her in the back, just goes off with somebody else. She loses Omarosa. She doesn't have that personal connection. So then she turns to Ross and Marissa, like her other two people, like, okay, now, all right, screw Omarosa. Like, I'm with you guys fully. And then right after she pulls off the flip with them, they back away and they've been a bit cold. They've been a bit distant, but she's been trying to tell herself it's okay because they're her people. And now she's starting to realize, no, they're not her people. Who are my people? I have nobody. I am completely isolated. I never had any good relationships in this game. Like, who am I now? Like, what is this? What is happening to me? And I think it really just all stems from the fact that she was too good in those competitions. If she didn't show herself to be such a threat, then she could be in the Ahri role right now. Yeah. But it's not. And so I don't think she should take it so personally. It's hard when you're in that house, I can imagine. And it's hard to not feel like what have I done that makes nobody want to work with me in the entire house? Maybe I'm a threat, but I'm also an asset, right? How come nobody can see that? And I mean, that's just because Ahri and Brandy are playing too well. James, he goes and talks with Ross again. And he is telling Ross, I'm true to this four. But let me tell you, I know that I can't have a woman sitting next to me in the final two. Any of these women will beat me in the final two. In this alliance of four, where there's two men and two women, you know what that means. That means I want you in the final two with me, Ross. Come on.
Oh, he tried. He tried very hard. James kind of has been repeating this from the earlier ones from like first eviction. And he, I think my favorite comparison of him thus far has been yours last night, comparing him to Caleb. Because I definitely, now that I've heard that, I definitely see it. And he wants more than anything to believe in his final four alliance. He wants more than anything to be a loyal soldier in that group going after the rest of the house. But he also hasn't forgotten that there is a female power that has been going on. And he definitely believes that he has no shot if he sits with any of them, which I don't think he's wrong, to be honest. It'll be difficult for him to win. So especially considering that, you know, let's go with the 6-5 split and then the fact that Brandy's not really a fan of him. Like, these will be more conversations we're going to have during the end game. But Ross, probably music to his ears, right? Ross hearing that another person wants me in the end with them, that's good for me. And the fact that he knows James and Shannon are going up, this is gospel for him because now he has more of a reason to keep James over Shannon if anything crazy was to happen. And there's a swing that needs to be made. We kind of know where Ross is probably going to be leaning moving.
Yeah, forward. It's funny because that first eviction cycle, James and Chuck were on the block, and James took the pouty, the game isn't fair, screw this kind of thing, while Chuck made good social inroads with people and started to work with the people in power. And that's actually what ultimately gets Chuck evicted and James to stay. This time around, the roles are kind of reversed. Shannon is being pouty while James is immediately going to work, trying to make sure that Ross knows he's on his side. He is a valuable ally, valuable tool for Ross to use. And so we'll see how this plays out. Toward the end of the day, we start to get some rumblings about some changes. So, it may work out for him. It may not work out for him. We'll have to see. So Ross does eventually talk to Brandy and Ahri. And it's basically being very, it's become very clear to them that he is playing both sides. He basically comes out and admits it. Like, they still trust me, guys. And Brandy and Ahri are like, yeah, you know, you really got to like make a pledge here. Like, are you with us or are you with them? And he was like, I am with you guys. I promise. We're all good. Like, all right, if you say so to these cameras, because this jury is not sequestered, we get to watch back. All right, if you're making that pledge, you're making that pledge, and we'll trust it. But it's true for the most part, but he is still trying to to work James just in case. But I think the thing that benefits the relationship between Ross and Brandy and Ari is that he genuinely feels like they aren't playing the game as hard as they actually are. And I think he feels much more comfortable taking them down to the end than other people, even though, again, that's probably a mistake, because if these people can leave the house and see what Ari and Brandy are doing, then, you know, they're going to get a lot more credit than I think Ross believes they will. So Ross, he pledges his allegiance to Brandy and Ari, and everything's fine.
Yeah, no, everything's okay with Ross now. I think that is the oversight for Ross, is that he's not realizing those two are playing the game as hard as they are. And also simultaneously, even though they want him to declare and pledge, and he does, they're still looking at him to kind of be their mediator. They're still asking him to fish stuff out for them. And I think the later into the day we got yesterday, I don't think these are tests they're putting out there, but Ross is definitely lobbying to, like, have James be safe more so than most people. And I don't think they're realizing that quite yet. They might later on. But Ross has done really well at being able to have James on his side in case. Because typically what happens when you put up a pair like this and you deem them the strong pair, even if they're both strong, once one goes, the other one becomes less threatening automatically, because there are other pairs and other alliances to, like, dig into. And you're going to need numbers. So James will be a good one to, like, have in your corner. And I think Ross right now is trying to solidify that while simultaneously keeping himself safe with his new core alliance of Ari, Brandy, and Marissa. So it's going to be interesting to see where he goes from here. But what I do think is going to happen is my worry from last week, where he's going to slip up again. Ross does a lot quickly and a lot often. And whereas he does it a little bit more low-key than Shannon was doing, and that's why Shannon is in the front lines and he's not. Once Shannon goes, I think Ross might be looked at a little more in-depth.
Yeah, and so he does. He goes back to James and says, okay, yeah, you are going to get nominated next to Shannon, but you're not the target. Don't worry about that. You're not the target, and don't tell Shannon anything. And James is like, oh, well, okay. I'm good. I won't tell Shannon. I'm good. I'll do whatever you say. Just don't let me go home. And so Ross is he's pulling what has been tried, I think, every round at this point, which is go to the person that's not going to be going home. Try to get them to work with you. And so James and Shannon are nominated in the nomination ceremony. And when the feeds come back, Shannon is confronting Brandy and the rest of them about this decision. And so they're basically saying, or Brandy's basically saying, you've been crazy. You've been making alliances left and right. You have a final two with James. You had a final two with everyone. You had a secret alliance with Mark. And like, Shannon's like, none of those things are true. I haven't been doing anything. Everyone knows what I did. I was in an alliance with Omarosa. I decided that she was not loyal to me, so I flipped the house. And then I was loyal to you guys. I haven't done anything since then, which is completely true. But there has been this whole just like this idea that Shannon, because Shannon was the one to flip the vote and she was the one that won those competitions, that idea of her has stuck, even though she hasn't been doing anything since. So they end up telling her like, no, you're a crazy person. You're Shannon. You're running around like crazy, because that's what we saw you in the first elimination cycle. But ever since, it doesn't matter what you've been doing since then, because we're just assuming that you've been doing stuff. And so that makes it true, because perception is reality and you're crazy. And Shannon's like, no, I'm not.
Perception is reality. And another thing, you always remember your first. I feel like for a lot of these house guests, their first ever experience in Big Brother was that first elimination cycle. And watching Shannon dominate that, watching her get these long letters for the veto, and then watching her single-handedly kind of flip the entire house to get a result she wanted that was not the group consensus until like the last day. These were all threats for them. And that just made Shannon this big target that could never go back. I think Omarosa has done a very good job of reassimilating with the house, and she's been able to like make it seem like Shannon was the one that was evil, and Shannon was the one that kind of like was, you know, poking at me and trying to like throw jabs at me. So I think that also factors into it. What I loved about this conversation with Brandy was the way Brandy was just able to swing back. Anything that Shannon said, Brandy had an answer for. They're like, my favorite one was Shannon saying what a lot of these house guests this season are saying, of like, when you go back and you look at the tapes, you're going to realize that I was not doing any of these things. And then Brandy's like, yeah, well, we make mistakes as humans. Like, we're allowed to make a mistake. I'm just like, that is not, that's a valid, I mean, I can't, you are right. That is a thing. So I think Brandy in that high pressure situation, I was very impressed with how Brandy was able to just swing things her way and just keep the conversation going, but not pissing off Shannon more. And then I guess she couldn't really piss Shannon off anymore once Omarosa came in and did it for her.
So yeah, well, I think it's important again to note the difference in how these two players are handling this between Brandy and Ari, how they're handling things, and Ross and Marissa and how they're handling things. Because Brandy and Ari, they defended their decision. They said, look, this is why we made the decision, and if we're wrong, we're sorry, we made a mistake. But you know, we had to do what we had to do. And you know what? When Shannon talks about, oh, we had a four-person alliance with Ross and Marissa, they're like, yeah, and were we included on that? No. So, like, they have every right to be doing this, and they can completely justify it, and they're doing it to Shannon's face. Meanwhile, as Shannon is breaking down, Ross and Marissa are comforting her. Oh, it's okay. Like, don't worry. Like, you shouldn't not love this game. Like, you should blah, blah, blah. And then after they finish comforting her, they go off and talk privately, and they're like, oh my God, how annoying is it that Shannon is reacting this way? I thought she would handle it way better. It's so like, what we did is no different than what she did to Keisha, and it's so rude that she is so upset about it. And it's like, this is the worst possible way that you can do this. You have to remember, this jury is not sequestered. She is going to see this. And you are not only are doing this behind her back, but your justification doesn't make any sense. No, it's not nearly the same as what she did to Keisha, because you are wrong. She wasn't planning on betraying you. She didn't tell you to your face that she was planning on betraying you like Omarosa did. So it's like, not only is the justification wrong, which makes you look ineffectual as a game player and makes you seem like, again, Brandy and Ari have convinced you of something that's not true. It makes you seem like you did something that was maybe against your own interests because you were wrong. And it also makes you seem mean and rude and petty that you're doing this behind her back. And if she, like, I tweeted this out this morning, like, that is the kind of quote. When Shannon gets out of the house and inevitably like goes to the live feeds and looks at Twitter and like finds stuff out the way that I imagine she will, she'll see that kind of thing and be like, God, that's so obnoxious. Like, especially that you wouldn't even tell me. And like, that's why I lost, because you were so dumb that you believed Brandy and Ari when they told you that I was betraying you. Like, obviously, and especially for somebody like Ross, who thinks that he can beat Brandy and Ari, I think, you know, if we get to that situation, if they're in the final two, this is exactly where it happens, where I think Ross loses the game, and he won't know unless he, you know, listens to these podcasts or like whatever, why he lost until afterward, because he thinks that he's doing a good job. But this is just not good jury management, especially for this kind of jury.
No, the structure of the jury definitely does not allow for you to be this way. I mean, it does, but you shouldn't be doing it. And someone like Ross should know that, especially once you find out that they're going to go home. And not just any day, Shannon is going to go home. The one person I believe will be looking through all the footage and keeping up with everything that's been going on, especially to do with her own eviction. Even if she's got a bad taste in her mouth and Big Brother just give, like, she doesn't want to deal with it, I believe she will at the very least go back and watch this past 3 days to see where it went wrong or how it came together, why she's out there. And Brandy and Ari kind of giving it to her straight is the correct way to do it, because there's nothing to hide there. Whereas Ross double dipping and just doing these back and forth conversations with her, with James, with them, that comes off very the way Andy was seen kind of by a lot of people, as that rat floater type persona. And you don't want to be duped like that. I mean, even if game respects game and you are okay with being duped like that, you don't want to be done dirty like that by someone who you thought was in your core, like the top two people you trust in the house. So that's just bad gameplay.
Bad yeah, the key part about Andy is that he never made excuses for why he did things. He was very upfront about the fact that, like his people, even in their jury questioning, were like, "You said that like it would be terrible if somebody betrayed somebody like that." And I was like, "And Andy was like, of course I said that because it got you to not betray me, and then I betrayed you. Like that was my move." Certainly Andy said lots of things behind people's backs, but it was a sequestered jury, so exactly. He didn't have to worry about that. You have to be upfront, and you have to be able to defend, I think, your move, much more so than in a regular game of Big Brother. And I don't think Ross can defend his move. I think he was very wishy-washy to begin with, and then now that it's happened, he's trying to justify it to himself, I think, because he feels guilty. And so in doing so, he's being kind of rude himself. And that's just not a good place to be, especially when your opposition potentially is doing it much, much better. But yes, getting back to this confrontation, Shannon, she said, like, I was so loyal. Why did you guys do this to me? I wouldn't have done this to you. They tell her it was a group decision. It wasn't just Ari. It wasn't just Brandy. It was a group decision. And that's when Shannon starts to realize, okay, Ross is definitely stabbing me in the back here. She starts crying. She's like, I don't love this game anymore. This is the worst. I don't have any fight left in me. I don't want to fight. And then Omarosa comes in. And she's just, Omarosa, can you just leave? Can you just not be here? And she's like, no, I'm staying. I don't care. I will not be dismissed. Okay, I have every right to be here and watch you cry and lick your tears off of your face. So they get into a fight. Shannon is upset with Omarosa. Part of her blames Omarosa. Part of her thinks that Omarosa was doing this and that Omarosa convinced people. This is one of these ideas I hope she is, disillusioned from when she, comes out of the house. Omarosa was not the cause of this. It was Brandy and Ari. But Omarosa has done some impressive things in terms of keeping herself safe, as we discussed on the roundtable last night. Shannon is very mad at Omarosa. She's, you pulled that card that was completely unfair and untrue. And you, I haven't talked game with you at all since you came back from the hospital, because she was told that Omarosa told people that that she came to Omarosa, or that like she was talking about Omarosa and like, oh, she's at the hospital, we need to get her out, like blah blah blah. Shannon is being genuine. She's telling the truth here in all of these situations, but the myth of Shannon has gotten so big that there's no fighting it, and nobody believes anything she's saying, even though it's basically all true. And Omarosa is just like, no, you have done those things. You are a crazy person. Everyone knows it. You're going home. It's just a classic Shannon Omarosa fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Omarosa does this one thing perfectly that I think affects every person. So you know how when you're angry and someone says, dude, chill, don't be mad, that makes you more mad. And yeah. Omarosa's just stature and her tone and the way she uses words definitely does that. And she came off looking so much better than Shannon during this entire confrontation, I felt. Just because Shannon's like, well, when Omarosa says something, don't believe her because she means this. And, oh, you're going to talk now? Let's hear you say another lie. And then, Omarosa uses these classic lines that I've never heard. I don't want to contribute to your stress. You are such an amazing player, and I want the best for you. I want you to go far, and I want you to learn, and I want you to grow. Like, she uses that kind of tone, that kind of vocabulary, which is just infuriating if you're the person on the receiving end when you know that none of this is true. So it's absolutely insane. The fact that Omarosa has somehow completely misted people and is now safe and fine and in a good ear, in the ears of everyone, like in a good way. But then Shannon just can't stomach this, because this was a plan that was literally highlighted. Even Ross was saying when they were kind of agreeing to send out Keisha before the live veto came on and happened, that if we get rid of Keisha, Omarosa has to be next. Otherwise, you're not getting my vote. whoever's next. And then not to, like, for Shannon to watch all that be said and not happen, and then to watch herself be on the block, it's a hard pill to swallow. It's even harder when the person that you wanted gone is now in your face telling you to don't worry about it.
Yeah. Omarosa is just like one of those classic villains that's like just soft-spoken but then like completely crazy after, like a Hannibal Lecter or something, like just like she's totally charming until she bites your face off. The veto players are drawn. We've got Omarosa, Ross, Brandy, James, Shannon, and Ari will be playing in this veto. Not a terrible draw for Shannon and James. Omarosa, obviously, probably not in the best condition to win anything physical. Ross is probably one of their bigger threats there. Brandy hasn't really done too well in the competition so far. And then Ari, she certainly won this HOH, but I think this was probably a luck HOH based on what we've heard. So maybe not the best competitor, which means they have a pretty decent shot to win one of these vetoes and pull themselves off.
Yeah, no, it's very likely. And especially like looking at the format now, if we are going to be getting more of a live thing on the Mondays and the 2-hour Friday ones is when we're going to get like the edited veto version, we know it's going to probably be a physical one.
Right.
So with that draw being calculated, yes, I think Shannon and James both have a really good shot of pulling or winning and pulling like themselves off. And by the sounds of it, Mark is most likely to go up if the veto ends up being used as of this very moment. So all considered, it seems like no matter what, one of them will be going. So it's just a matter of which one of them gets to use the veto and jump off before it's too late.
Yeah, it's funny, actually. Going to the Ross-Andy comparison, Mark is kind of like the Spencer of the season, where he's like, he's got a good relationship with Ross, the Andy, but he is like the perpetual pawn. But the way he's playing is that he's almost never going to go home if he's up there, because there's always going to be someone more threatening, at least so far. So we'll see how that plays out with Mark. Now that Shannon is just completely broken down, she doesn't even want to try anymore. People are starting to recognize, and man, this is what I said last night on the roundtable. This is what Shannon needs to do. Blanket until Friday and let James talk with Ross a bunch and get people threatened by that. And then lo and behold, right away, Meta is starting to say, man, why don't we take out James? I mean, Shannon just sucks. She can't do anything.
She's broken.
And they're like, yeah, you know what? That kind of makes sense. Maybe we should start thinking about that. And then, of course, Ross, who I don't know if this makes it better or worse for this plan, but Ross comes in and goes, whoa. No. We can't do that. Shannon needs to go. Shannon definitely needs to go. We can't change the plan. What are you talking about? If they keep bringing this up over the course of the week and Ross keeps being adamantly the one to shut it down, meanwhile, they keep spotting Ross talking with James and Shannon is doing nothing, I feel like 100% they're going to be like, okay, Ross is trying to make a deal with James. We do need to keep Shannon. And then maybe even if one of them wins the veto, maybe we put Ross up on the block next to James. I think that could happen. If he continues to be careless, I think that is a non-zero possibility at this point. So I'm calling my shot right now.
I mean, it's not a hot shot to make. I definitely am with you. I think this is the big problem with being the Varus. You got to be in the shadows. If you're out in the front in broad daylight having these conversations, people catch on. Even if it's not a harmful conversation, paranoia is a big brother thing to have in the house. So the mind starts to turn. And watching Shannon just lay in bed and do nothing does make her seem harmless. I mean, we've just watched so many of the Omarosa kind of like did the same thing. She comes back from the hospital and kind of just laid low, and lo and behold, she's still there. And it's not impossible. And like the fact of the matter is, they were shocked. Quite a few people were shocked that Shannon had this reaction. A lot of them thought it was kind of going to be a game recognizes game. And it's like, okay, you good gameplay. Like, I understand. I'll see you in the veto. Whatever happens, happens. But the way that Shannon was able to kind of deflect and look small, make herself look tiny and broken and just emotionally wrecked, that has kind of made them feel like she's not going to be of harm to them. Brandy has promised her that she will take her down if she wins the veto. So just getting a promise like that out there, even even if it doesn't happen, even if Shannon still goes, that I think Brandy made a mistake by making this promise. And it's funny because Brandy and Ross had this like small conversation where they were like, if you had to give me advice, what advice would it be? And Brandy tells Ross, you need to stop making promises around the house, like many promises, because you won't be able to keep all of them. And then they flip it around and Ross tells Brandy, you need to go through me when you want to make anything, any decision, because you decide on a dime. So you need the time to think. And it's just like, okay, so I don't like that answer from Ross at all. I think inevitably people will come to realize that Ross is double dipping and it's not for the betterment of the alliance now. It's for the betterment of him, because I think they should quickly realize that if James stays and he wins, yes, I know Omarosa has like talked to the group and said we can manipulate him. Brandy has said he's dumb, but they need to realize that James will just swing directly right back at you if he wins. So he is not as he's not going to be as easy to manipulate. And if he does swing at you, he's not swinging at Ross. So it's definitely something to consider moving forward. It could happen.
Yes, and I mean, we should remind you that Brandy and Ross have a final two deal. And in that conversation, Brandy was talking to Ross and being like, make sure you don't tell anyone about that final two deal. Ross had already told Marissa about this final two deal. So, you know, if that comes out, like because here's I think what could happen, right, is if Shannon continues to be completely out of it and they continue to talk about maybe we should keep Shannon and Ross continues to be the person that's fighting against it, I could see Brandy and Ari having a conversation with Marissa where they're like, man, it really feels like Ross has made a deal with James or something. And then, you know, as they're talking about Ross, then it gets out like, oh yeah, he told me that he had a final two with you, Brandy. And then we're in for some fireworks. So yeah, a lot of stuff there. Also, I feel like I've learned my lesson from the breast milk thing. So I want to bring up that Meta has been talking about Orwell the Owl, he talked to the feeds for a long time. the owl has kept him sane. He's been able to cuddle with the owl. He legitimately said, like, without the owl, he would be going crazy. The owl is like his big brother wife. He gets physical comfort from it. And he's like, you guys think this is just a mascot, but no, this is like the most important thing in this house. And when I get out of this house, I want like three of these things. And so I don't know, like, exactly, Nikki in the chat. Oh no, what if Orwell goes missing? That's what I'm saying. If watch out for Orwell, we'll keep an Orwell watch. If Orwell gets destroyed, if we see the remains of Orwell like scattered about the floor, I think that's when we see Meta just being like, screw this, I'm out of here. And that's when we get another weird blindside, because I mean he's already missing Orwell, because Orwell, he hasn't been able to find him. But if it gets to the point where think about what Aika did in Big Brother Canada 5, if they find Orwell like hung on the door or something, we're gonna be in trouble with Meta. So that's the Meta Orwell watch.
Yes, the Metapod. Meta is fun. Meta is a lot of fun. I really love when he monologues, and sometimes he just says the two opposite things in the same sentence. Like, oh, this game is about deceit, and I've had so much of this in my life, and I don't want it, but now I want it. Now I want to stay. And like, I love Meta. I love Meta. We can never get enough Meta, in my opinion.
Yes. Nikki asks, is that what James and Shannon should do, destroy Orwell? Yes. Yes. I think that, when Aika made the move, it just seemed like a petty thing, but this could be a legitimate strategy. Take Aika's lead and you know, do something to Orwell, and I think it will upset Meta so much that he'll quit.
It'll unhinge him completely. It's like, if he's calm now, this is his stress ball. Take it away, see what happens.
He'll escape the house again and just like run to his wife and be like, we need to order another Orwell. All right. I believe that's all we've got to update you on today. Puya, do you have anything else?
Not really. Now it was just all eyes on the veto and see where it goes from there, what the fallout is. and how people are behaving, specifically James, and whether his like calm demeanor and his we can handle this demeanor ends up getting to people, and the fact that Ross is still in the mix there. Does Shannon continue being like this, or does Shannon wake up today and go, okay, this is a game. There's only a week and a half left, maybe even less. I need to just throw everything I can. Because if she does that, that might end up hurting her game. So just a lot to find out today and what the fallout's going to be with this veto.
Yes. All right. So make sure you tune in tonight after the Big Brother celebrity episode. We're going to have some fun. So follow us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Puya is at Puyaism. Subscribe to the reality TV Rehapups feed on iTunes or the Big Brother dedicated Big Brother feed on iTunes. You can find us on rapiswebsite.com as well. And I believe that's all we've got for you. Make sure you check out the Taren Show. I talked to Bruno Aiello from Big Brother Canada. We didn't talk about stuffed animal destroying, but we did talk about Big Brother Canada 5. So lots of fun stuff there. Thank you everyone for joining us. We'll see you next time.